All right. Hey, Fritz Berger, bloodandfaith.com. It's 13 September 2023. And I was reading them out of the book of Luke last night. And you know what I talk about here. If you didn't know what I talk about here, you probably wouldn't be listening to this. And I, the more I get into this subject, this issue, this topic, this theme, the more overwhelmingly I see it. And once you start seeing it, you can't unsee it. And the support for what I talk about is absolutely, incredibly, mind-bogglingly, if that's a word, overwhelming in the Holy Scripture. And I want to start in the book of Luke. I'm just going through the book of Luke, minding my own business, trying to fall asleep at night. You know how you fall asleep at night, right? You start reading your Bible and you fall asleep. So I'm reading my Bible, trying to fall asleep, and it just keeps jumping out at me. I've covered, and the Jerusalem Post has covered, the fact that the modern-day rabbis are, in fact, the spiritual heirs of yesterday's Pharisees. There's a direct link between the two. They both taught the traditions of the elders and the precepts of men that Jesus Christ describes throughout his time on earth in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 15 is a great place for that. But they teach the Talmud. Today's rabbis, there's a direct link between yesterday's Pharisees and today's rabbis, and they both teach what has become the Talmud, rabbinical Judaism, Talmudic Judaism. And this is an Antichrist worldview, Antichrist faith, Antichrist philosophy, Antichrist political movement. I don't distinguish between those. We live in a world where they want to distinguish between politics and religion, and there is no such thing. There is no when people want to dissect the difference between politics and religion, what they really want to do is they say, it's a religious idea. It has no place in our politics because we have a secular outlook. That's why they do it. They're not doing it because religion has no effect on politics or no place. It's because they don't want it to. And any historian, any sociologist will be very happy to look at the history of the world or contemporary politics in a foreign culture, and they will say, absolutely, the religion of a society has a direct bearing on the morals, the legal framework, the philosophy, and the politics of that society. Nobody would ever question that. The only place that's questioned is in the United States of America or modern secular Europe, influenced by you know who, and they say, oh, you can't mix politics and religion. Nonsense. That historically, that's not a factual case. Historically, that's ludicrous. How can you tell a man you can't mix what you believe with how you ought to run society? How can that possibly be? How can anybody say that? How can anybody come along and say, Fritz, what you believe should have no bearing whatsoever on your morality, your philosophy, your worldview, the laws you want passed? On its face, it's ludicrous. People make the distinction between religion and politics in order to draw a fence, build a wall around Christian ideas, and cast them out of modern politics and philosophy and law. That's the purpose of making that distinction. Oh, we do things based on science. You're a liar. You're a liar. And nothing should be more apparent today when people say that, because they're pushing the transgender and homosexual agenda when it's fundamentally, positively, absolutely, undeniably anti-science. Two XXs do not make a male or a female, do not reproduce. Two XYs cannot reproduce. Homosexuality is extinct in exactly one generation. One generation, gone, over. Doesn't matter how much you butcher somebody or add chemicals to them, they don't change from an XX to an XY. But that's not what I want to talk about. The point is this. There is no difference. There is no fundamental line between what you believe in and your political view. People say that in order to cast Christian ideas out of society. Oh, you can't impose your religion on me. All laws are an imposition of a worldview. All laws are an imposition of a faith. All laws are an imposition of morality. Laws against murder are an imposition of morality. So it's ridiculous on the face. Nevertheless, if you don't know what to believe, you read the Bible. Okay? It's the anchor and a map. It's the one anchor. It's the one map. If you're a Christian and you don't read the Bible, you're lost. You're flat out lost. And you need to demand of your pastors and preachers that they read the Scriptures and they understand the Scriptures and that the Scriptures themselves trump any man-made tradition. Right now in the United States of America and most of the former Christendom, with most churches, Christian, Protestant, Catholic, whatever, Pentecostal, charismatic, they have this belief that's not true. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because you already know what it is. Luke, pick any spot in the Bible. Here's John the Baptist. John the Baptist starts preaching. He began saying to the crowds who were going out to baptize him, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Okay, there's enmity and ought there. Who's the viper? Who's the children of the viper? Goes right back to Genesis 3:15. Bear fruits in keeping repentance. Do not say to yourselves, "We have Abraham for our father." All right, now all these people out there said, "Oh, we're the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." First of all, 99% of them are liars. They're not. Their ancestors converted to the Talmud. That's a fact. Even if they were the descendants of Abraham, John the Baptist says, "Do not say, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham, even from these stones." My apologies. Forgive me for that. Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. What is John the Baptist so worked up about? Why does he go after these people? Why does he go after the crowd and call them a brood of vipers? Why does he tell the crowd? He says, don't sit there and say because you're a descendant of somebody that you're special. Don't say that. God's able to raise up from these very rocks children for himself. Why do you think Peter's called a rock? Why do you think Jesus Christ is called a rock? Why do you think Jesus Christ is called the chief cornerstone? There's a whole new bloodline going on, baby, and it's the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Outside of the bloodline of Jesus Christ, thou art not a child of God. Thou art not. All right. And he goes on and he starts preaching. With many exhortation, he preached the gospel. And he goes down, he talks about Jesus. He says, "Listen, I'm baptizing you with water. Somebody's coming. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's going to gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Moving on, the temptation of Jesus Christ. Again, this is a few chapters out of Luke. Jesus goes into a situation of temptation. Satan himself comes in temptation. What does Satan say? "And the devil said to Jesus, 'I will give you this domain and its glory.'" What's the glory? Well, I would imagine it's all the wealth. All the wealth and glory of the kingdoms. "For it has been handed over to me." So Satan said, "Look, somebody gave it to me." Who gave it to him? God did. Okay, God did. God said, "Okay, go for it. Run it." And he says, "It has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish." And indeed, that is true. People say, "Well, God rules the world." And and Daniel says very clear. He says, "He gives it to whoever he wishes." Well, apparently, God gave it to Satan. So you go ahead and run it. Knock yourself out. Satan goes to Jesus, "Look, worship me, and I'll give you everything." Jesus turned him down. Now, who do you think he gave it to? He gave it to his own children. Satan gave the power and the wealth and the glory of the world to his own children. Of course he did. Also known as his own synagogue. The Bible's very clear that the devil has his children. From Genesis 3:15 to Luke chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says, "You brood of vipers, you offspring of the devil, you seed of the serpent." Jesus Christ refuses him. And we go along, and Jesus is preaching the gospel. And he says, look, he's in the synagogue. He says, no doubt you're going to quote your proverb itself, physician, heal thyself. And he says, I tell you the truth. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was shut, but Elijah went to none but Zarephath in the land of Sidon. There's many lepers in the time of Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. He says, listen, you people, you that call yourselves whatever, don't think you're so special. Stop thinking you're so special. He says, there's many widows in that time. This goes back even before to the time of Jesus Christ. There's many widows in the times of Elisha. There's many sick in the time of Elijah. He said he didn't go to any of them. He didn't go to the offsprings of Abraham. He went to a Syrian. And he went to this woman of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. He said, stop thinking you're so special because you claim to be a descendant of such and such. Jesus Christ starts right off with it. And the church has got this all buggered up. I'm sure that's a bad word. I'm going to offend somebody. And you got these spiritual trannies, claiming they're something that they're not. They claim they're something that they're not. I'll tell you flat out, the Word of God existed long before any peoples. I don't care what you call yourself. You can call yourself a European. You can call yourself a Jew. Doesn't matter. Word of God existed long before y'all and y'all's ancestors. So if somebody comes along and says, I'm a Jew, sorry. You don't get to define what that is. The Word of God already does. And if you want to say, I'm a Jew, and the Word of God says you're the children's devil, well, then you just placed yourself in that category. You put yourself in that category. The Word of God existed before you. It will exist for all eternity. And Jesus Christ looked at the Jews, and he says, you're of your father, the devil. Furthermore, he elaborates on this in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. All y'all people, all y'all, y'all are running around calling yourself a Jew. You're liars. You're of your father, the devil. So whether you're of the stock of Abraham or simply claim to be of the stock of Abraham, the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, is not impressed. Not impressed even remotely. John the Baptist wasn't impressed. Don't say you're sons of Abraham. You brood of vipers, you children of the devil, John the Baptist called them. Goes right back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15. There's the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Jesus Christ said, look, this didn't begin with me, Jesus Christ says. It didn't even begin with me. Go back and look at Elijah and Elisha. There's lots of sick people, lots of needy people of the house of Israel. He said, I went somewhere else. He went somewhere else. We went to Sidon. We went to the Syrian. Stop thinking of yourselves like you're all this or all that. Those of faith are the children of Abraham. Those who are of faith are the children of Abraham. If you're not in Jesus Christ, you're not the children of God. And the church is both deceived and too traitorous. I'll throw both out there, and you figure out where you line up with this. The fraternity of Jesus, the fraternity of Judas Iscariot is very large. Men called, chosen to preach the gospel, praying for the sick, casting out devils. Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? And they're going the way of Judas Iscariot by siding with the Jews. All right, and the purpose of this podcast tonight is just to tell you, I don't care where you open up your Bible. If you read the Gospels, you're going to find out who the enemy is pronto. All the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Believe me, I'm not the original anti-Semite. If anybody was, it's Jesus Christ. Jews hate Jesus Christ. They hated him then. They hated him then. They hate him now. Luke chapter 4, verse 28, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Jesus, you're an anti-Semite. Jesus, you're a Nazi. Jesus, you're an Adolf Hitler. Jesus, you're a fascist. You're anti-Semitic, Jesus Christ. All the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard this thing. They got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. They're outraged at the anti-Semitism of Jesus Christ. This is not new. Goes all the way, it's over 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ is just talking about Elisha and Elijah. Look, y'all, stop calling yourself special, whether you're a spiritual tranny or an actual descendant of Abraham. He said, they sent the prophets to Sidon and Syria because you're a backslidden harlot, the whore of Babylon. And here, right here, here's the people in the synagogue trying to murder Jesus Christ. Okay, day one, step one, chapter four of the book of Luke. Y'all think this is some late invention. Oh, we can't hate the Jews or God. No, they're not. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ called him the seed of the serpent, a brood of vipers. And I've talked to you extensively here at bloodandfaith.com about how the Jews themselves to this day, they say, look, the gospel according to St. Luke is fundamentally anti-Semitic. I don't care. I do not care. I'm going to side with Jesus Christ. I'm going to snuggle right up, right under his wings. And I say, I'm going to say what Jesus Christ said. I'm going to say what he said. And the church has rejected what Jesus Christ said because the Jews have gone out there and convinced the Christians to adopt the traditions of men and the precepts of elders over the written word of God. Okay? It's the same thing they did to the law and the prophets. There's a theme here. Okay? It's nothing new. All right? So here's these common people in the synagogue. They're filled with rage against the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They try to murder him right there. Try to murder him in the crib. Try to murder him when he starts preaching. There's enmity from day one. John the Baptist says, y'all are you're the devil's children. You're a brood of vipers. It's the same thing. Jesus says, hey, just want to remind you, this goes long before me. Elijah and Elisha, they went to people that weren't even descended from Abraham because of your hearts. All right. The devils know who Jesus Christ is. He's casting out devils. He says, hey, leave us alone. We know that you're the Holy One of God. All right, he chooses his disciples. One of the disciples he chose is Judas Iscariot. The devil didn't sneak Judas Iscariot in there. Preachers, I want to remind you, preachers, the devil did not sneak Judas Iscariot in there. Judas was called and chosen of by Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter, well, somewhere in here, choosing the 12, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. It happened as he was passing through the Sabbath. The Pharisees, again, when you think Pharisees, think of today's rabbis. They are the protectors and the propagators of the Talmud, which is fundamentally antichrist. And their enemy has always been and always will be Jesus Christ. You can't fix that, Christian. You can't fix it. Okay, you can't fix it. You can't make friends with the world. The enmity and the hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent was introduced by Jesus Christ in the third chapter of Genesis. This wasn't the devil that introduced hatred. It was God Almighty. He says, I'm going to put enmity, which is a hatred unto death, between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Genesis 3, chapter 15. Excuse me. Genesis 3, verse 15. You can't change this with your good intentions. You cannot. And if you want to be friends with the world, including and especially the Jews, you make yourself at enmity with God, okay? The more I read it, the clearer it is. So the Pharisees say to Jesus, remember, Pharisees, rabbis, Jews, why do you do what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Okay, right away. We're going to find some way to accuse you. So Jesus says what he says. Then they said the scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath so they might find yet another reason to accuse Jesus Christ. They're enemies. Jesus Christ and the Jews are enemies. They've been enemies from the very beginning. Now, can a Jew get saved? Yes. Paul is our example of that. Salvation was extended to Judas Iscariot, truly a Jew. I don't know, maybe he was whatever. He was called and he was chosen and he rejected. He sided with the Jews instead of siding with Jesus Christ. And I know we have it in our minds that a traitor is somebody that, you know, he goes around and he sneaks around and gets behind you and he takes a sword and he skewers you through the liver from behind and wiggles that sword around and, oh, where he got, no, that's a traitor. No. Up to the very end, Judas Iscariot publicly associated with Jesus Christ, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes up, he says, "Hail, Rabbi." And he greets him with a kiss. Probably stands back, go, well, I guess you're getting, I don't know. I don't know. Someday I'm going to write a piece on this. Yeah, the Jews just want to know who you were. I'm just making introductions, man. I'm just making introductions. That's all. I'm just making introductions, Jesus. I'm sure you can handle this. Siding with the Jews is treason against Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. I'm warning you. I'm warning you. You side with the Jews, that's treason against Jesus Christ. Judas Iscariot is the example of that. Here again. He's healing a dude. He's healing some dude. Chapter 11. But the Jews, the Pharisees, were filled with rage. They're filled with rage and disgust what they might do to Jesus Christ. Okay, we're only in Luke chapter 6. We're only in Luke chapter 6. People act as if the Pharisees somehow went away. Oh, that's just a, you know, that's just, they're actually talking about self-righteous Christians. No, 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 they're not. These are Jews. These are religious Jews. They are Talmudic Jews. They're followers of rabbinical, well, what we would now call rabbinical Judaism. They're the forefathers of today's Jews and rabbis. If you want to know more about the Jews, read Esther. Okay, it's a secular people that band together and said, we are Jews, we worship ourselves, what we do is for ourselves. Book of Esther, there's no mention of God, no prayer to God, no appeal to Moses, no appeal to the law or the prophets. And they set up new traditions and new holidays in the book of Esther. And they thrive in multicultural empires. Why do you think they want all of the white nations to become multicultural? Because that's where they, that's how they maintain their power. You got the first rabbi in Iceland these days. First thing he does, he says, you need to open up your borders and bring in refugees. These are the children of the devil. They're the children of the devil. And if you go out there and you side with the Jews, that's treason against Jesus Christ. I don't know how else to say it. So he wants to flood the white race and the Christian people with non-whites and non-Christians in order to destroy them and to have power over them. It's what they did in the book of Esther, 127 provinces. That's where they thrive. They can't have any power if they don't have this multicultural, multi-ethnic, polyglot return to Babylon. That's why they're called the Whore of Babylon. It's all together, baby. It's layer after layer after layer after layer, if you open up your mind and your heart to see it. They're filled with rage against Jesus Christ. But Christians, we want to be a good Christian. We're going to support the Jews, and the Jews are going to love us. I don't want to be called racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. Oh, really? Okay. Well, let's read what Jesus said. Luke chapter 6. Blessed are those when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of Son of God. Be glad in that day and leap and rejoice, for behold, thy reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to teach the prophets. All right? Now listen to me very carefully. Who's Jesus Christ talking to and about? In the same way their fathers treated the prophets. Well, wasn't the Chinese that treated the prophets that way? Wasn't the Europeans that treated the prophets that way, was it? No, it's these people that call themselves the children of Abraham. They're the children of those who persecuted the prophets. They might call themselves Jews these days, whether they're spiritual trannies or not. Ivanka Trump, it claims to be a Jew. She converted to Jew. Now is she a Jew? Or is she a German of is she a white German? Again, you go back to the book of Esther. Many, many, many nations and peoples became Jews because they were terrified of the Jews. It continues today. Sammy Davis Jr. becomes a Jew, black dude. Some Japanese guy, his name's not Hirohito, but it's something like that. He becomes a Jew. Oh, is now he a Jew now? Is he a chosen people of God now? Norma Jean, what's her name? Marilyn Monroe becomes a Jew. Is he a Jew? Is she a Jew? Daniel Silva, I've read a bunch of his books. He converted, becomes a Jew. I didn't even know that. Now, is he a Jew now? Are the evangelicals going to go out and go call him one of the chosen people of God? There's articles today in the newspapers about Christians going to Israel and the Jews spit on them and hate them and mocked them. Literally, this is an antichrist people. I mean, we're just covered three chapters in the book of Luke. All right? Chapter 6, again, talks about the house of the firm family. He says, if you listen to me and my words, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on it, I'll show you his life. He's a man who dug a good foundation. But the one who hears my words and doesn't act accordingly, doesn't speak accordingly, doesn't agree with me, argues with me, rejects my words, it's like a man who built his house on the sand. A flood comes, and he's going to be utterly destroyed. You're out there contradicting Jesus Christ, supporting and lauding and being a false prophet for the seed of the serpent, for the synagogue of Satan. You're a traitor against Jesus Christ. All right, verse 7. I'm going to stop here. No, I'm not going to stop here. I'm going to go through verse 7, chapter 7. So a centurion slave's come. A European man comes up. Roman centurion, European man. He comes up and he heals his kid. And what does he say to the crowd? He turns around and looks to the crowd. He says, I say to you, not even in Israel have I found one with such faith. Okay, the antipathy and enmity and the battle and the fight is deep between Jesus Christ and these people. Okay, I randomly opened up Luke and I'm reading through this. It's over and over and over. John the Baptist comes along. He says, hey, Lord, are you the one? Jesus Christ says, amongst other things, he says, blessed are those who do not take offense at me. And you've heard me talk about this before, but Jesus Christ said a lot of offensive things. And he does it on purpose. He is not in any position to sit there and try to make himself acceptable to you. He's not interested in that. Jesus Christ has no interest in finding a way to make himself acceptable to you or me, including whether or not you have a good life, including whether or not you have a good life or have your feelings hurt. He's not interested. He does not cater to that. John, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. The early Christians, everybody thought they're cannibals because they used to have Holy Communion. So this is the blood of Jesus Christ. John says many people turned around. They walked away from Jesus and said, you're out of your gourd. And Jesus just looks at his own disciples, the 12. He said, listen, folks, dude, you want to take a hike? Take a hike. Walk. Like Jesus said, right, like Matthew or John the Baptist says right here, look, don't think you're special. He can make disciples out of rocks. You want to take a hike? You want to take a walk? You're offended by me? Go. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me. All right? Jews hate Jesus Christ. Why do you love the Jew? Verse 30, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's perfect purpose for themselves. Okay, this is the word of God. It's eternal. Pharisees are the forefathers of today's rabbis. The Jews acknowledge this. The Jews say this. So we have a direct line from the Pharisees. The Pharisees preached the traditions. They wrote down what becomes the Gemara and the Mishnah, today's Talmud. They're antichrist, been antichrist for a long, long time before Jesus Christ. Go back and read Acts chapter 7. Y'all are the sons of those who came out of Egypt, and it wasn't God that you offered sacrifices to, was it, O house of Israel? You brought up the star of your God, Rapha. Well, what star do you think is on the flag of the state of Israel? It's the star of the god Rafa. It's the a satanic star. Look, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. If you open up your minds to see this, siding with the Jews is treason against Jesus Christ. Oh, but I don't want to be called a Nazi or a racist or a fascist. Oh, okay. What does that say again? Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil. All the Almighty can do is give you a chance. Hop on board, buddy. Hop on board, brother. Say what Jesus Christ said and have them hate you. And then again, Jesus is there and he's getting a foot massage by a gal. And they find another reason to accuse, 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 accuse. That's it. I'm stopping right there. Oh, let's not. Let's just throw in Luke 9. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. Luke 9, verse 26. Whoever, whichever pastor, whatever preacher is out there that's ashamed of John 8:44 and Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. That's it. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.